Last week, I wasn't sure if we were going to be done with our sermon series in Dreamers of the Bible, and I thought maybe, but this week the Lord began to pour out some more things to me. So we're in part six today of Dreamers of the Bible.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. And Lord, I'm going to ask that as we get into your word, that you would just minister and that you would help me to bring it accurately according to your heart, Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen. Last week, I wasn't sure if we were going to be done with our sermon series in Dreamers of the Bible, and I thought maybe, but this week the Lord began to pour out some more things to me. So we're in part six today of Dreamers of the Bible. Been talking about dreams and visions over the last 6 weeks, and I'm praying that you have gotten some insight and some wisdom on those things, and today will be another day to look into God's Word regarding that. And our opening text, Joel chapter 2, in the small book of Joel in the Old Testament, we go to what Joel says regarding the last days, and it shall come to pass, verse 28, afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So Philip was telling me he was dreaming dreams, so that means you're old, Philip. Okay? No, and you had some vision. Okay, you're right in between there, all right? I'm just kidding. And upon your servants and upon your handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. So this is the promise of God of what he is going to do when he calls it, the prophet knew it as in the days that will come afterwards, the days after him and the days leading up to the return of Christ on this earth. So we are quickly coming to those, that day when Jesus is returning to the earth and he will set up his kingdom on this earth. And we are getting there because we see the signs and the times and those things that are heading in that direction. Now, today's sermon is not going to be about that, but it's going to be about what God gives dreams for. We have been talking about various reasons for those. And today I want to talk about one other reason and then a separate little area that many people have often wondered about. So today I want to talk about that God can use dreams to give encouragement to us. And so I want to begin with that, and then I want to talk about a subject that what humans experience in the way of nightmares and in the way of sinful dreams. And this is not an area that you hear most pastors talking about, not too many sermons about this. But the Lord has brought this to my attention because it is something that we all have dealt with. And we'll be talking about that here shortly. But today, as we start out, God can encourage us through dreams, in encouraging dreams and speak to us different things. I've talked about this story before, but Genesis chapter 28. If you go way back with me to that opening Bible text of Genesis chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you liest, I will give it to you and to your seed. And your seed will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread upon the west and to the east and the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, as we had talked about this in a prior sermon, God was giving a prophetic utterance to him of what was going to happen to him. Now look at verse 15. Here's the encouraging part. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all places where you go, and will bring you again into this land, and I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of you. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. But I want you to look at the encouragement that God gives him in the dream in verse 15. First of all, are there any encouraging words in that verse? Take a look at that. Come on, somebody tell me what God said as far as encouragement to him. Is that encouraging to you? When the Lord speaks, and if you're having a dream of some sort, and the Lord speaks and says, I am going to be with you. I am not going to leave you. How many of you know that if anybody could be in your side and on your side, it would be the Lord. Amen? Amen. When he says, I will be with you. Any other encouraging things in that dream that God said to him? I will do what? I will keep you. Does anybody know what it means to be kept? That the Lord will watch over you. You know, that's the Aaronic blessing that sometimes I give here in church, and I say it every Wednesday night on our Bible studies. May the Lord bless you and keep you. That means he is keeping everything that has to do with you. He's keeping your health. He's keeping your finances. He has got a hold of it. How many of you would like the God of the universe to have control of everything in your life? That you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You don't have to worry about whether or not your finances will be there to pay your bills. You don't have to worry about, well, I hope when I die that I'm going to go to heaven. You see, the Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. How many of you know that you have eternal life? That when you die, just like Jackie, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to the presence of the Lord. And some people say, well, I sure hope so. I don't hope so. I know so because of what the Lord has given us in his word. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. All things are made brand new. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him might go to heaven. What? What? They will have everlasting life. How many of you believe God's word? So therefore, I know that when I have committed my life to him, I have given my heart to him, I have become born again, as what the scriptures say, I know I'm going to heaven. Now, if you have not done that, you have something to be concerned about. And therefore, it is time to give your heart to Christ and not say, well, I'll wait, you know, that's for the old guys. That's for the older people. We need to make our time right with God now. There are encouragements that God gave Jacob through this dream as we look there at verse 15. And he said, I'm not going to leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of you. Now, Jackie had God's hand on her until it was time for her to go be with the Lord. And one day, we will go be with the Lord if the Lord does not come back prior to that in the catching away of the saint, or as Rhonda says, the catching up. We're going to catch up with the Lord. But there is encouragement here that God can use in dreams. Just by show of hands, has anybody ever had a dream here that was encouraging to you? Anybody? All right, we have several that have had a dream that was encouragement to you, and that God has planted something within you that said, I know what God has said, and I believe that He is able to keep that which He has said. Amen? Amen. Now I want to move into the bulk of the second part, nightmares and sinful dreams. Now when I talk of nightmares, most of us understand that, or these are what some refer to as night terrors, or things that you wake up and oftentimes your heart is racing, your mind is racing, you're sweating, because of the vividness of the nightmare. Has anybody ever had any of those types of dreams? Okay. So we're talking about nightmares, and then we want to talk about what I consider sinful dreams. These are dreams that we may have that are things that are ungodly type of things that you may dream. They may be sexual in orientation of the dream. They may be something that you are doing in a sinful manner, and you wake up and say, wow, where did that come from? Now, again, this is not talked about in church very much, and I've never really heard any pastor's sermons talking about this. But I want to dig into that a little bit deeper, and just maybe to ease some of your hearts and some of your minds regarding some of these things that take place. Nightmares. And these dreams. Where do they come from? Okay? Have you ever asked yourself that question? And it's like, you know, wow, where do these things come from? Now, there are people that are very quick within certain churches that will immediately say they all come from Satan. And everything is from Satan himself, and he's just flooding your mind, and he is just doing this to you, and he's just attacking you with all these dreams. I have some news for you. Satan cannot do that for the believer. Okay? He cannot do that. He cannot take possession of your subconscious mind if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God living within inside of you. Therefore, it is the same concept as a believer in Jesus Christ that has the Holy Spirit in him cannot be possessed of a demonic spirit. Now, for the unbeliever that has not given their heart to Christ and not having the Spirit of God living within inside of them, it can be quite possible for Satan to be able to do that because they belong to him. Okay? With demonic activities and demonic dreams and so forth. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, there is a keeping. Remember we talked about that? May the Lord keep you, and God watches over the saints of God. As far as this, so Satan cannot take control of the believer's mind and just say, well, I'm just going to give them whatever I want to give them. Cannot happen. However, The believer, though they cannot be possessed, there are what are considered oppressive spirits. Okay? These are spirits of Satan that come and try to oppress. And oppression is considered from the outside, trying to put a pressure on, not from the inside. So again, understand Satan for the believer cannot take control of your subconscious mind when you are sleeping and have his way. However, there are oppressive spirits that come and they can try to cause issues with us. Now, we can be attacked by the oppressive spirits. And we know for certain, according to the Word of God, if you turn with me in Ephesians chapter 6, most of us have heard this so many, many times, but I want to read it again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, or this is considered the trickery or the schemes of Satan. Verse 12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's speaking to believers here. Believers in Christ, we are not wrestling. That term wrestling means that we are getting into battles with these oppressive spirits. We are wrestling with them against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is why we're told then to take up the whole armor of God. And put on that whole armor of God. So oftentimes, even for the godly individuals, and I will tell you that this has happened to me occasionally as I have been resting or sleeping, and then I wake up with just an, there is a presence in the room or in and around me that is not godly, and this is an oppressive spirit that is saying things that are not godly. And oftentimes that may happen in a nightmare, but what do you do about this? Okay? Do you just wake up and say, oh, you know, it is what it is? No. I want to instruct the body of Christ that when there is an oppressiveness that may come upon the believer, or you have a nightmare of sorts, you don't just wake up and say, well, I'm just going to shrug this off. The very first thing that you want to do is take authority over the enemy. And at that point, when you wake up, you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this place. And anything that just passed through my mind as far as that nightmare, it does not line up with the Word of God, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And he must obey. It isn't a question of whether he says, oh, I don't have to listen to you, because as a believer filled with the Spirit of God, he must listen to what you have to say. So many times, believers never take their spiritual authority over the enemy, and because of it, he continues his onslaught of oppression to try to bring the believer down. That's where you need to take that authority and say, you will not do this. I will take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to say that straight out, that if this is an oppressive situation, this is the authority that you need to take. Now, are all nightmares from Satan? No, they are not. So when we look at some of the causes of nightmares, it can be from physical illness. Nightmares can come from medications that are taken. Nightmares can come from emotional issues that are going on. And here's a biggie that causes a lot of nightmares, and it's called stress in individuals' lives. Now, here's some more. Watching scary movies. Watching demonic type of movies. You know, the Bible is very clear for the believer. Avoid the very appearance of evil. So I'm just going to tell you straight off forward that the believer in Jesus Christ, if you love Jesus and you are saying, oh, I love Jesus, but I just love watching gory, satanic movies. Those two do not go together, folks. I love Halloween and going to freight farms and going to this and going and watching individuals and gory things that take place. Those two don't go together. To love Jesus and to love those gory things. I will tell you this, and I've said this before, it made such an impact on my life, and now I am so strong and so passionate about this, that when I was a kid in the church that I went to, they had a Halloween party every year at that church. A Halloween party, which Halloween, who does it glorify? Does it glorify God or Satan? It glorifies Satan. And there are many people that say, oh, it's just a simple little holiday. It is not a holiday. It comes from the pit of hell. And churches that are participating in this, listen, I can remember we had what was called an upper room that was supposed to be a prayer room, but during the Halloween party, it was turned into, they put a curtain up there and people stabbing each other and throwing, red paint on the curtain. You know what that did to me as a kid? Trying to put church together with that? And we wonder why our children have nightmares. Listen, parents. Allowing or showing your children these gory movies and nightmarish type things. And some people say, oh, I just love it. They can often be the cause of nightmares that happen not only with children, but with us. And why do I bring this all up? Because God says, avoid the very appearance of evil. As a godly individual, we are to take what God has given to us and make that a part of who we are. Not glorifying Satan and going and visiting all the things that everybody says, oh, this is so cool. And I was younger and gave my heart to Christ and the Lord began to call me in the ministry. And others were saying, you know, come on, this is a great thing. Let's go do this and, you know, let's celebrate Halloween. He's going to tell you straight out, it's from the pit of hell. It is not just a simple thing. Well, kids can just get dressed up and go and do their thing and get candy. Because the entire thing is glorifying Satan. Newscasts can give us nightmares. How many of you know that? I will guarantee you that if you spend a week watching CBS, NBC News, all these different podcasts, and you watch them solidly for a week, you will begin to have nightmares. This is just what the body does and what the mind does. It takes the information that we receive throughout our days and throughout the week. How many of you have ever had crazy dreams? And you wake up and you shake your head and say, whoa. What that is your mind is putting together all of the things that have perhaps taken place throughout that day. And some of us have more active minds than others. But I want to caution you on the things that you put into your mind. Because oftentimes people like to blame Satan for them, and it's not Satan, it's us doing it to ourselves. And God tells us to avoid the very appearance of evil, and He gives us instruction regarding what we are going to do. Now, when we wake up from these nightmares, I think it's very important that, number one, as I said, we say, Satan, I curse you in the name of Jesus, get out, right? But number two, to begin to quote the Word of God. Begin to quote the Word of God. And one of the best things that I know to do is quote the Word of God from the book of Psalms. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 91. Here's what you can do if you wake up from a nightmare. Have your Bible beside your bed. How many of you have a Bible beside your bed? I encourage you to have a Bible beside your bed. So when this happens, you can pick up your Bible if you don't have it memorized, and you can turn to Psalm 91 and say, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. And guess what? I am abiding under that shadow. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You know what will happen to that nightmare? It will disappear very quickly. Very quickly when you begin to quote this. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. You know what the terror by night is? The nightmares. I will not be afraid because He is my refuge, Paula. And if you don't memorize that, pick up your Bible and begin to quote it right there, and that nightmare is gone, John. You see, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that sin came in. And what is the whole purpose of Satan? To kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have that more abundantly. So get the abundancy in here and get rid of the garbage that this nightmare might present to you. Very first thing you ought to do is seek out the Word of God. Now I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Here's something else. If you can mark these in your Bible, when this happens to you and if this happens to you, you can begin to quote these things. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yea, when you lie down, your sleep shall be sweet. This is the promise of God. When I lie down, do I need to be afraid of nightmares? Because the Lord my God is with me. And oftentimes, you know, you can get into the Word of God and spend that time and say, God, this is what You say when I lie down. You're going to be with me. I will not have to be afraid. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. Again, how many of you want to know that the Lord is keeping you? These are the promises of God. So I wanted to touch on the nightmares and what we do with them. Okay? Take authority, number one, in the name of Jesus, and then get to the Word of God. And I can tell you, after reading Psalm 91, I'm saying the Lord is my refuge. I will not be afraid, and I go here to Proverbs and say, my sleep shall be sweet, and go back to sleep. And some of you are saying, well, I can't do that. Why not? You can. All you got to do is practice it and do it. And you will go back to sleep right now. Now, what about other dreams, sinful dreams? Well, we know for sure that they don't come from God, right? They don't come from God, but sometimes these dreams even come to godly people. People that are trying to serve God and loving God with all of their heart. And somehow or another, there's a dream that pops out of nowhere and you wake up. And what's the very first thing, if you've had a sinful dream, that the believer should feel? Huh? Remorse. Really? Because when you come and you awake and you realize what you had dreamed, there should be a conviction because of what you dreamed. Because it was against the Word of God, because it was against everything that you stand for. And at that point, what do we do? Do we just say, oh well, forget it, it'll pass? I think at this point we need to again get into the Word of God and repent. Okay? Look at this, 1 John chapter 1, and most of us again know this, we've been here. And this is the promise of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, some people say, yeah, but it wasn't anything that I consciously did. It just showed up. Okay, but when you wake up and you feel conviction, that's the point right there where you need to get before God and say, Father, I'm not sure where this came from, but it doesn't belong to me. I am a child of God. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Okay? Because how many of us, when we wake up from a dream like that, our mind wants to keep rolling that thing over and over again. Okay? And that's the point where we stop that and say, no, 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 no. In the name of Jesus, I repent and I give this to God. Now, this deals with all of humanity. If you thought you were the only one that have ever dreamed a sinful dream, you're wrong. Because every one of us human beings has dreamed something like that. Now, some people look at me and say, well, not you. You're the pastor, right? You've never dreamed something like that. Am I human? Laura says. Yes. Brother Rick. Absolutely. Yeah. Kathy. Yeah. So what I teach you applies to me. I have to do that as well. So the question then comes in at, you know, why did this happen? And this is where Satan jumps on the bandwagon with believers. And the devil likes to say, man, you call yourself a Christian? I can't believe that you dreamed a dream like that. Christians wouldn't dream stuff like that. Well, first of all, that comes from what is called, the Apostle Paul named it, the carnal man. That flesh man part of us. And there is a sinful nature that is within each one of us that we must constantly fight and win the battles over the flesh man. Because if I am beating the flesh man, I am winning for Christ. Amen? So when that flesh man, or when there are dreams of such nature that come to us, we must repent of those and then say, God, please forgive me. I am a child of God and I move forward from here. And listen, it is very important for us to do that. Don't beat yourself up if this happens. Now, I will say this, though, that if there is a constant and repetitive sinful dreams that you continue to have and have and have and have, one must really take a look at their hearts. And one must really take a look at their life. What are you consuming on a daily basis? You know, what are you watching on the internet? What are you watching on TV? Are you watching lustful things? Are you reading lustful things? Are you spending your time on learning how to sin? Of course, that's going to repeat over in your mind in the way of dreams and sinful dreams if that's your lifestyle. We must pay attention. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the question is, what are you filling your mind up with? If you're filling your mind with ungodly things, what do you think you're going to be dreaming about? So again, if there is a repetitiveness here, you need to ask God to search your heart and clean that heart. Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus speaking here, verse 27. He said, you have heard that it was said of old time, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, a lot of people don't understand this next part, but he says, and if your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and not your whole body be cast into hell. What's Jesus talking about here? Search me, O God. If there is something that is in my heart that I am continually putting before my face over and over and over again, God needs to clean my heart. And for the believer, we ought not to be putting things in front of our faces that are ungodly. Turn away from that which even appears to be wicked. Today, it is so easy with a couple clicks of a button on a mouse to get into things we ought not to be into. So easy. The world has made it easy. But God says, if that thing is causing this and you are having continual dreams about this, cut it off. Get it out of your life. Because it is better for that to be out of your life and you to make heaven than to lose your entire soul. And no, this is not a normal type of sermon. But it's something that we all deal with, and we need to know how to deal with this. How do we stop these nightmares? How do we stop sinful dreams? The Word of God tells us very clear, and we're going to close on a couple of these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let me ask you this. When you have nightmares and or sinful dreams, are they exalting themselves above God? Yes, they are. And we need to take those things and bring them into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every nightmare, every sinful dream, and take it and say, that does not belong to me. That does not line up with the Word of God. That does not line up with what I believe. And therefore, it does not belong to me. This is something that we have to do. We have to take it right there and don't wait on it and say, well, you know, later on I'll do that. When it happens, take it now. Cast it away from you and say, that does not belong to me. Number two step, the two step. Book of Philippians, and most of you, again, these are familiar passages to us. Philippians chapter 4. Remember I said that many of these dreams come from our stressors and we're worrying about things. Be careful for nothing. In other words, stop worrying. Because your worry during the day can create your nightmares in the evenings. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. How many of you have heard the word keep again several times here today? The Lord will keep you through His Word. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is any praise, what are you supposed to do? Think on these things. What are you spending your time thinking on? Because the more that you think about something, how many of you have thought about something so much that you dreamed about it? Anybody in here? Years ago, when I was working for my mom and dad, we had a company that we went out and cleaned carpets and furniture and did that kind of stuff. And every day when I would get done with work, I would come to the basket for the next day's work, and I would pick up all those invoices, and I would read through all of them of what I needed to do and what the jobs were and everything. You know what I did all night? I dreamed about those jobs. All night. And this happened for months and months and months to where I was exhausted. Because I was working during the day and I was working at night. All night. Till one day, quit doing that. Get done with today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Think on those things that are good. Think on those things that are lovely. Think on those things that are of good report. If there's virtue in there, think on those things. In other words, think on the Word of God. Think on the things that God has for us. Because when you're doing the other, it's going to show up in your night terrors, in your night dreams. So God has already, He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. Therefore, He gives us what we need to have. think on the good things. Don't be thinking about what I have to do for work tomorrow. How many of you know that's not a good thing? Okay? And I have to train myself, and I continually have to train myself on that. Especially when you have big projects and your mind just... How many of your minds do that? Okay? You know, they just... a year. And then you end up dreaming about it. God wants us to have what? Sweet sleep. And that sweet sleep comes from laying everything down at His feet. Okay? Peter said, casting all of your cares upon Me, saith the Lord. Cast all of your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. God knows our dreams, and He knows what causes them, and He gives us the answer. And I can tell you that if you begin to put this into practice, you will have sweet sleep. You will have where you're not worried about tomorrow. You're not worried about what might happen. But I have sweet sleep in Him. And God can give you sweet dreams. Sweet dreams. Amen? You ever have anybody say to you, sweet dreams? But they might also say, don't let the bed bugs bite. Right? I don't know about the bed bugs and God's word, but I also know that He says He'll give us sweet sleep when we trust in Him. I know that. Amen. Father, thank You for Your instruction today in Your word. And Lord, thank You that You have made provision for everything that we deal with in this life. And I'm thanking You for just Your grace and Your mercy, Your forgiveness, and thanking You most of all for Your word, Lord. Thank You for this series and what You have given to us. And I pray Your blessing upon it, and that we would glean from Your word. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.